Hey!
Hi, this is Dr. Christine.
And Dr. Colin.
And we are your co-hosts for the exciting new podcast called
Love, Scrubs, and Stories,
where we dive deep into the world of dating and relationships and go beyond the people wearing the white coats, the scrubs, and the stethoscopes.
Come join us on this journey where we engage in dialogue and share stories of love, heartbreak, resilience, and triumphs. And we also navigate our professional lives with our hearts on our sleeves.
Please remember to subscribe and hit the notification button to stay up to date on all future episodes.
And we look forward to seeing you inside.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for hopping on to the Love Scrubs and Stories podcast. My name is Dr. Colin Zhu. I am one of the co-hosts, and I'm joined by my other lovely co-host, Dr. Christine Nguyen. How are you doing today?
I am doing fabulous, Colin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. I think we have a great couple of topics lined up for today and a couple of amazing guests. But before we get to them, Christine, have you ever watched 50 Shades of Grey?
50 Shades of Grey. Oh, of course, of course. You know, I like so many, especially women out there, you know, have binged on the 50 Shades series. It's really intriguing, you know, and definitely, certainly there's a lot of curiosity. There's a lot of learning as well.
I think it's that curious. Series. Yes. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's obviously one of the most popular in terms of, what do you call them? Romance novels, or what is the specific book section would you go?
Romance, if you went into Barnes and Noble? Fantasy.
There's always some sort of guy that's like beautifully laid down. And then there's always like a woman on top of him and, you know, stuff like that. But I thought it was interesting because it definitely explores a little bit more in terms of sexually, in terms of the boundaries of our comforts and our comfort zones.
Absolutely.
Right? And also it brought up to my attention this question that, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you've asked this question to yourself before, but the question of, are we supposed to be monogamous? Are we supposed to be just with one person? Do I only have one soulmate, right? And is it only possible to love just one person, right? And all the different nuances and little idiosyncrasies that come along with that. Have you ever had those thoughts or explored that yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly, you know, we're hearing more and more about it. And there's certainly a sense of curiosity, you know, that myself and other and our audience have had, you know, because we also hear about it from our patients. And then, you know, and as we navigate our own, you know, romantic journeys, there's also the intrigue of it. And we all know that love comes in many different forms. And so I'm very open to learning more about this world, especially with the rise and the interest. And so, and we, you know, we have two amazing guests today who can share their perspectives and educate us on this topic. And we're specifically talking about polyamory and non-monogamy.
Awesome.
So we have
lots
to talk about. I can't wait to hear from them.
Before we get to them, do you have an opinion on why there's a rise in these certain, how would you say, movements or I guess subcategories of different types of relationships that's traditionally or conventionally known?
Yeah, and I think more and more over time, you know, we've recognized that we can't and shouldn't expect, you know, everything from one partner. You know, and certainly I definitely agree with that. And so there's certain, you know, as we, and some of us have tried, you know, and we've left being very frustrated. And so I think that, you know, often, you know, we like to seek solutions or at least hear about different perspectives and ways about how to go about, you know, how do we, you know, find solutions or other alternatives for, you know, potential relationships like that. And so we certainly have, you know, this other forms of loves that's out there that I've been hearing a lot about. And so I want to learn more about it.
All right. So let's bring on our two guests. I would like to introduce my guests or our guests first. So our first guest is Dr. Amber Holm. She is a direct primary care pediatrician with her own private practice in good old Las Vegas. And she has a special interest in peripartum women's health, relationship changes with parenting and sexual health throughout the lifespan. And she writes about the intersection of medicine, intimacy, and culture on Substack. And we'll definitely go more into that and hear her side of it. And why don't you introduce our next guest?
And we also have the pleasure of having Dr. Rahul Malhotra joining us today. Dr. Malhotra is a psychiatrist and general adult outpatient in Summit, New Jersey. His residency was in adult psychiatry at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia. While in residency, he won the Arnold P. Gold Award for Humanitarian and Excellence in Teaching Award. He graduated from Tufts University School of Medicine. He has a bachelor's degree in computer science and mathematics from Rutgers University. He is particularly interested in psychiatric history and how it transforms our present in the physician-patient relationship and the evolution of anti-anxiety medication. Very fascinating. So let's welcome Dr. Malhotra and Dr. Hull to the Love, Scrolls, and Stories podcast.
Hi. How do I do the wave? The wave is like this, right? This is the Love, Scrubs, and Stories wave.
Yeah.
You're picking up on it really fast.
Yeah, it's the double wave.
We need to start a wave. We have enough people. We can start a wave now.
I know. We just start like a wave. Hi, Amber and Rahul. How are you both doing today?
Really good. I'm so excited to be here. So nice to meet you, Christine. I've been watching the evolution of your internet fame, and it's so lovely to meet you too, Colin. I'm just so excited
pleasure
to get
all mine.
Today.
Yeah,
pleasure is all mine.
Yeah, likewise, and appreciate you both for taking the time to join us today. And, you know, Rahul, we've, you know, gotten to know each other through the White Coat Romance community, and it's just been, and I actually had the pleasure of actually getting the chance to meet you in person like a few weeks ago when I was in New York, and, you know, we got the chance to like hang out, you know, with the rest of the group and had some wonderful conversations. So that was really wonderful. And Amber, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas in about a week, and so we'll have to like catch up.
And
take an aerial class.
And Raul, I just learned that you also graduated from Rutgers. So, you know, I graduated from the New Brunswick campus.
Me too.
What year are you?
I graduated in 2004.
Okay. I'm 06. So okay. We probably were on the same campus. We didn't even know. So, but it is a really big school. So
it's like a little city.
It really is. It really is. People are still weirded out when they see the accordion buses. They're like, wow, you have a whole public transportation system, which I actually think is much better than LA by itself, right?
40 minutes end to end.
Yeah, it's crazy. Christine, why don't you start off on the first question?
Yeah, so certainly we're talking about polyamory and non-monogamy today, and there's been a growing interest, you know, among our healthcare community and the greater community on this topic. And so we thought, you know, who would be, you know, no better than you, Amber, as well as Rahul, to come join us to educate us on this topic, you know, and share your perspective. So can we just start off? Can you provide us like a brief explanation for folks that may not be familiar with what polyamory is and what non-monogamy is and what the definitions are and perhaps how they differ from traditional monogamous relationships?
So
I'd like to start. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take this one. So ethical non-monogamy, or some people prefer the term consensual non-monogamy, is a broad umbrella under which a variety of different relationship structures fall. So you have folks who are polyamorous, where they have like multiple romantic, like deep connection, committed relationships with multiple people with knowledge of and consent of everyone involved. Swingers fall under the umbrella of ethical non-monogamy. So people who have recreational sexual encounters as a couple with either other singles or other couples. Folks in open relationships who, you know, date independently of one another and aren't, you know, sort of constrained to just playing together as a couple. There's solo polyamorous folks like me who are more of like a free agent. You know, I date on my own. I don't have aspirations for a primary partner. And like, I would also consider myself a relationship anarchist, which is more of a philosophy and like an approach to relationships that takes into account the core values of the people involved and really is sort of like custom design relationships. Like we're going to enter into this relationship under these terms that we both understand and consent to. And it's like an ongoing, you know, communication. And, you know, those relationships are sometimes in flux and they may change and grow over time. Other people may become involved, but it's ethical non-monogamy is more of like a broad category. And polyamory is sort of like a subset of people within that broad category.
Awesome. Thank you for the very thorough explanation. Rahul, was there anything else that you'd like to add to that? Perhaps what it means to you personally?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the risk of treading the same ground, I'll tell you how I do it, which is basically the whole universe can be divided into monogamy, straightforward, right? And then non-monogamy. And then non-monogamy is divided into ethical or consensual non-monogamy, the difference being that some people have different ethics than others. So if you put in consent there, then it's really clear that you got consent. So consensual non-monogamy and non-consensual non-monogamy. And non-consensual non-monogamy is cheating. You're just cheating. That's what that is. So that's the entire non-consensual non-monogamy universe. And then consensual non-monogamy divides into swinging, of which I know basically nothing. I defer to Amber, knows a lot more than I do. And then polyamory, which I think of as being basically everything else. The way I think of swinging, Amber, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think of swinging as being sex with, you know, maybe you have a primary relationship, but sex outside of that, generally without any kind of emotional attachment. And then polyamory is kind of everything else, which is that you can have emotional attachment. You might not, but you can. That's how I think of it.
Great.
So my natural reaction to this, and thank you for elaborating and going off of this, is because we're also all doctors here, you know, I think about it from a biological evolutionary standpoint, right? Where we're trying to survive as a species and we're trying to proliferate and propagate. And then I think about society's rules that been placed on us, right? So because there's, you know, we've talked about and alluded to all of that, there is a rise. Do you feel like, going back to my original question when I was chit-chatting with Christine, is, do you, in your opinion, feel like we were ever meant to be monogamous? Is it something more that's ingrained and innate in us, or is it more of a choice?
So for me personally, monogamy represents captivity. And I've done a lot of reading from an anthropological standpoint on this. There's a very good book called Sex at Dawn. And also Wednesday Martin wrote a book called Untrue about the history of sort of putting women's sexuality, like containing women's sexuality for the purposes of real estate transactions and making sure that men aren't contributing financially to children who are not biologically theirs. You look historically at like arranged marriages in many parts of the world. These young women are essentially traded for domestic labor and childbearing and child rearing in exchange for emotional or in exchange for economic security. Right. And you have this whole like history of monogamy and marriage as a mechanism of controlling women's sexuality. And so, again, for me, and I recognize that I'm speaking from a position of privilege here, like I do have my own practice and I don't need to stay in a relationship with someone in order to maintain economic security from. I appreciate your bringing up the point because I don't think as a species that we were meant to be monogamous, and that's not to undercut or undervalue. Like some people flourish in monogamous relationships and they choose monogamous relationships. But I think that that should be a conversation that's had at the onset of a relationship, not just an expectation.
Yeah.
Raul, do you have anything to comment off this?
Well, I had said before we started that I think of Amber as being an expert. I do identify, I don't know if I said this yet, I do identify as polyamorous. I can get into the specific kind of poly I identify as, but basically when you talk about this with people, it really brings up a lot of feelings for people about themselves, you know, maybe desires they've had, maybe fears that they have. And so I just like to say that this is not for everybody. Polyamory, non-monogamy, monogamy. You know, I think the key is that everybody needs to figure out what's right for them. So I wouldn't paint with too broad a brush. And also, anything I say is really my opinion based on where I am in this journey. I'm in the middle of reading different books. Maybe by the end of the books, I'll have different ideas.
The Loves, Girls, and Stories podcast is a collaboration and co-production between The Chef Doc and White Coat Romance.
The Chef Doc is a wellness platform that offers innovative approaches to thriving and offers a self-empowerment book, podcast series, on-demand masterclass series, as well as a brand new app. The app provides self-guided education such as food as medicine, self-care, and resilience. Coaching services are also available, whether you prefer one-on-one or group type settings. Please go now to your app store, as well as Apple as Google Play, to download for free.
White Coat Romance is a dating app for healthcare and health-related professionals and students in the U.S. and Canada. It's a lively space where you can find love, companionship, and build meaningful connections with like-minded professionals. If you're single, go to the App Store and Google Play to download and join our vibrant community.
We are deeply grateful for your support. From all of us here at Love Scrubs and Stories Podcast, thank you so much for choosing us.
And enjoy the rest of this episode.
Thank you both. Certainly, communication is key. Absolutely. So with that, Rahul, if you'd like to start, you know, would you be open to sharing a bit about your journey into polyamory, non-monogamy, and then perhaps Amber, if you feel comfortable to follow Rahul? Yes, we'd love to hear about it.
Sure, absolutely. So I guess it started, I remember as a kid feeling like, I don't know if monogamy is natural, kind of similar how you were speaking about nature before. That's when I first had the thoughts, but then I sort of put that aside. And I've always been kind of an out-of-the-box thinker. My first sexual experience, when I lost my virginity, I fell madly in love with this woman. I was 21. She was 28. She had been married. And she told me when we started our relationship, she said, "I can't just have sex with one man." And I was just, you know, so much puppy love. And I was just like, okay, no problem. And then I remember the first time that we met one of her exes and I saw her flirting with another man. I felt this thing well up inside me. And I had a conversation in my own head. I said, "Well, Rahul, why is this bothering you? You agreed to this." And I said, "You know, I think I just want to know." And so I took her aside and I said, "Listen, I know you're going to have sex with him. Could you just please tell me?" And she said, "This is all in your own head." And she broke up with me. And my plastic 21-year-old brain managed to basically purge jealousy. It's not that I don't never get jealous. It's just that I pretty much don't get jealous. I remember I had an ex who said, "You know, I'm hanging out with my ex." I said, "Okay, that's cool." And she's like, aren't you jealous?" I said, "Well, you're not gonna, you know, you want to be with me. If you don't want to be with me, that's a different story." You know, very monogamous. But I wasn't jealous. I wasn't worried. I guess fast forward to 2016, I had come out of a relationship and I was on Tinder and I matched with somebody who was poly, and she was married, and her husband had a girlfriend and had a house with his girlfriend, and she was dating, and it was just so weird. And I read all the books and I was really into it. And then I fell in love with a monogamous woman. And I said, okay, well, I'm just going to be polyamorous in my head and monogamous in practice. And so then that relationship fell apart. I had another false start. And then fast forward to a year ago, and I'm part of a Facebook group, which I run much more poorly than Christine runs hers. And we had a book club where we discussed The Ethical Slut, which is one of the you know, kind of seminal polyamorous works. And Amber was the discussant. And she brought along her friend Miguel, who he is a polyamorous coach. And we were discussing the book and Amber was holding forth. And I just, it was like an epiphany. I said, why am I not living this way? And so I met with Miguel. We had a 12-session coaching experience. And he sort of shepherded me through, why do you want to do this? And then, you know, I was dating and that's a whole other story. But basically, at the end of it, I said, this is what I want. This is how I want to live. And I can come back to what I came to in terms of poly, but I think that's enough for now.
Thank you, Rahul, so much for sharing that. Appreciate it. And Amber, would you be open to sharing your story?
Sure. So I have been thoroughly uninterested in monogamy since I got out of my last monogamous relationship right at the end of 2015. And I would say that I've been like practicing non-monogamy for much longer than I've had the language to express it, because no one ever teaches you how to navigate the world and how to tell people what you want. And so, you know, I know that you guys have done pickup lines here in the past. Like, my pickup line would be like, what are you into? Tell me what you want. You know, like, just be honest with me, because framing the conversation that way starts with curiosity, and it eliminates assumptions. Like, at this point, I don't assume that anyone's straight. I don't assume that anyone's monogamous. I don't assume that married people are necessarily monogamous. And so I approach every interaction with curiosity. Get back to your point about personal experiences. So I was actually like plucked out of the wilds of the vanilla world a couple of years ago when I just first started dating again, because like with, you know, residency and fellowship and, you know, being a new attending in practice and then starting my own practice, I didn't have time for dating. And someone came along, and this particular individual was very into female-led relationships, which is a whole other different thing that we could talk about. But he was like, I'm into this. Do you want to give it a go? And I was like, sure, I'm good giving in game. Like, I'll give it a try. And if I don't like it, then we'll stop. And that was the person who really pulled back the veil on like, these are the possibilities, and this is what you can do. And you know, you just really have to ask. And I learned some important lessons through that, because I think as a woman, and I've seen this happen to other women too, you can become a pawn in someone else's sexual fantasies. And it stops being about my own growth, my own gratification, my own becoming a better version of myself, and starts to become more about the lens of his pleasure and his approval and, you know, those types of things. And so I would say there's a reason that there's not like an increasing number of non-monogamy coaches, both male and female. And it's because nobody knows how to have these conversations, because we're not socialized to have these conversations, right? So I found myself being a pawn in the sexual fantasies of men on more than one occasion, at which point I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a free agent. From here on out, this is about me. And, you know, since that time, I am now in contact with someone who I call my joy friend, because I like that it's non-gendered and doesn't have an implication of monogamy. But I've been in contact with this person for the better part of a year. And I met them on a site, and it was their primary partner who actually brought me to their attention and was like, hey, this person is trying to get in touch with you. And the two of us started corresponding back and forth, as people do on the internet, right? Like, I write a lot of stuff on the internet. They write a lot of stuff on the internet. And I was like, hey, I got something to say about something you said. And that was really what started the conversation. And so we had been in touch with one another for months before we ever met in real life. And when we did, it was like fireworks. And it was like, what are you into? Well, I'm into that too. And I want to try this. And, you know, and since that time, I like the two of us have had our thing going, but then he introduced me to his primary partner, and I was like, you're really cool. And so now in this sort of, and I'm still solo, right? But in this triad dynamic, and this often happens with poly people who find themselves in, you know, these polycule type of situations, is that I have my relationship with him. I have my relationship with her. The two of them have their relationship together. And then the three of us have a thing. And so it's not just one relationship, right? It's four. And I also have, you know, other people that I'm in regular communication with and that I see whenever I can. And so through that, it really has, like, I've met some amazing people who, you know, like, challenge me and nourish me and, you know, make me a better version of who I am. And then those people are like, oh, I know somebody you have to meet. Oh, and I know somebody you have to meet. And now I'm like developing this global network of people around the world who are like, you want to know what's up with the like sex positive community in Portugal, let me talk to you. And so it's, for me, it's just a different way of living rather than seeking out, like, I want one person who's going to be my all and my everything and who's going to complete me. And like, that's not what I seek. And that again is not any shade on anyone who that is what they want. It's just not what I want. And that's okay. And I don't need to apologize for that.
So I have a natural question that came up is, and I wanted to preface this at the beginning of the podcast was, you know, we want to have this topic. We know that from the audience point of view, this could spark different types of emotions and reactions. We want to make this a safe space and non-judgmental, and we're leading by curiosity and having an open dialogue and conversation. My natural reaction to both of y'all's stories, and thank you for sharing them, is it safe to say that it became for yourself more free and liberating to explore more than one, or have, I guess, multiple partners or different types of partners at, you know, simultaneously? Was that more free from that perspective, or has it been a little bit more complicated? Because you, Amber, you had just talked about the different variations of relationships, right? That's essentially you're meeting two people, but you're having four variations of relationships. So I don't know, can that be more complicating for you, or do you find that more liberating because of the fact that there's no of these social constructs of what a traditional relationship is? And either one can answer.
Would you like to go ahead, or would you like to make
it? Sure. No, I could take this. You know, it's both. I think it's, for me, it's very liberating because it's just very honest. I think that, you know, when I've been in monogamous relationships, you know, I've never cheated. So I've never done the non-consensual non-monogamy, but I've definitely been curious. I've definitely wanted to flirt. I've definitely wanted to be, sometimes I've been in relationships where being friends is not allowed. And it's felt very constraining and unnatural. And so it is complicated. It requires a great deal of open communication and a great desire to communicate. Some people don't want to, you know, their lives are so busy. They want to know that their partner is there for them. It's like, this part of my life is handled, you know, check. I've got my wife, I've got my husband, they're there for me. I know who I'm going home to, and that's okay. For me, I don't necessarily need that. And I'd rather have lots of difficult conversations because at least in my monogamous experience, that was needed anyway. But there wasn't always an expectation. It was like, well, this is the norm. This is what I grew up with. And, well, this isn't what I grew up with. Can we talk about it? No, we can't talk about it. As opposed to in this world, at least so far, everything is on the table. And I really like that.
It definitely takes ninja level communication skills because you don't assume anything about anyone. And part of what makes it so freeing, and I'll just punctuate this by saying monogamy is not the absence of attraction to other people. It's the it's the decision not to act on that. And so for me, communication is key in asking again, like, what do you want? Where are you coming from? And things are going to come up in any relationship. And I agree with Rahul. I don't get jealous. I just don't. I know exactly what I bring to the table. I am my own personal security is, you know, I'm confident, I'm secure. I trust and know that I'm bringing something positive to someone else's life. And if that stops being the case, then they can let me go. And likewise, other people are bringing positive things to my life. And I choose to continue to have them in my life. It's not like you're going to do this or I am. Like, it's not a threatening, like, you have to do this or I'm going to dump you. You know, it's like, okay, well, you want to do that? Well, you know, let's talk about it. And well, how is that going to affect me? How's it going to affect us? How is it going to affect you? And I have these conversations with clarity and a self-awareness. And I think that's the thing too. Like, in order to communicate what you want to someone else, you have to take the time and do the reflection to understand yourself. And so that's where the emotional labor comes in.
So, hey guys, what's going on? I hope that you guys are enjoying this episode. We felt that this episode is so important, so much fun, so engaging that we decided to split it up into two parts. So be sure to check back to part two of this episode.
Yeah, and it's going to be really worth your while. So we encourage you to hop on over and check out the second half of this episode.
Hey guys, thank you so much for watching and listening to this channel. If you enjoyed this, please like, comment, and subscribe. And if you felt like this was a benefit for someone else, please let them know as well.
As a reminder, this channel does not offer medical advice. All opinions expressed are ours and our guests only. It is for general informational purposes only and does not replace professional healthcare services. Please consult your own healthcare provider for any medical issues you may have.
Until the next episode, whether you're in and out of your scrubs,
please remember to love yourself and others and lead with kindness.
Bye. Bye.